Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the sometimes a bit sweary podcast for all of us ladies on the cusp of midlife who can remember the lyrics to our favourite song in senior school but can't remember why we walked into the kitchen. I'm Sarah Kaywood, former telly bird from the 90s and noughties, and currently mumming, crafting and voiceovering with varying degrees of success. And my esteemed co-presenter is Louise Mitchell, former marketing badass and currently practicing as a hypnotherapist. Okay, Lou, first question is for you. Let's get this show on the road. Can you please hypnotise all my hormones back?
Yeah, that would be nice. And I would obviously make lots of cash out of that if I could manage it.
Wouldn't you? So here we are. This is it. This is our podcast. We finally are giving birth. It's been a while in the making, hasn't it?
It has. It's been delayed.
It was delayed by, I don't know, some global pandemic that annoyed us.
Yeah, we're not going to focus on that. The C word. We're avoiding the C word.
What, Christmas?
Yeah, it's that coming. Well.
So what are we about, Lou? What are we here for?
We are here to shine a light on the menopause, hormones, the stages in our life that we're at, the fact that we both feel a little bit invisible, a little bit like life has, it's all just gone a bit quiet.
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's funny because obviously you and I chat a lot and we've done a pilot of Irregular Bitches and we've talked with our producers and, you know, as I said, it's been a few months in the making. But the one thing that we kind of realised very recently is we set out to do a podcast around the perimenopause and the menopause. And actually, we have decided that it's much more than that, isn't it? It is about, it's for women of a certain age. It's so most people that will listen hopefully will identify with us. I'm 48, you're 50.
Yep.
She's 50 this year.
Yeah, just turned 50.
Socially distanced festival in an allotment.
Very small gathering.
I know. Next year, love.
Next year.
There's always 2021.
Absolutely.
and it's just about hormones and how women are enslaved to them essentially for their whole life, aren't they? I said to Mum the other day, I said, you start with puberty and they're bonkers and you're slamming doors and being a moody teenager and, you know, obviously I'm generalising here, and acne and all of that sort of stuff happens. That's all hormones. And then you get into sort of your 20s and you're ruled by them when it comes to dating. Those mid-cycle hormones that mean that you will shag the most unsuitable men in the room.
Speak for yourself, Sarah.
Oh, yeah, right. I bet you shag some unsuitable men. We all have. Everyone has. And then you get to the baby-making hormones and all of those, and the postnatal depression that can blight a lot of people, and being hormonal when you're pregnant. And then you get to the perimenopause and the menopause. That's a whole lifetime of hormones.
Yeah, it's basically never-ending. And we noticed that people talk about PMT fairly openly now, but the perimenopause and the menopause wasn't spoken about. Now, it is improving. You can see there are various podcasts out there, but one of the reasons for us starting our Irregular Bitches podcast was because we found that we learned more from talking to our friends in a relaxed environment. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was book club or down the pub than we did anywhere else, because I didn't really particularly want to watch a TV programme about it or read a book about it. I just wanted to chat with my mates.
Well, that's how you and I originally got together, isn't it? Lou and I are actually sort of what you would call new friends, aren't we?
Yep.
We've only known each other for a couple of years.
Yep.
But it was bonding over this sort of perimenopausal time that we're in and how bonkers it was and how best to navigate our way through it that
and
made
just
us
talk
decide,
about it.
Yeah, that
just
made us decide.
talking to each other, didn't we,
yeah.
about it and how it was making us feel. And, you know, this was a while back and there really wasn't anything yeah. else that was out there. And we've listened to a couple of podcasts between us, haven't we? And they haven't hit the mark with us.
What do we
go
what
on,
do we say?
Sarah, do it. Lay it on them.
They're a bit dry.
They're
sorry!
So dry.
It's true,
it didn't
though.
Take us long. How long did that take? 5 minutes?
Let me have
we start discussing dryness.
Oh, it's all hot flashes and dry fannies. It's not.
And
I'll
also,
come on to that later. That was a friend of mine that said that. I was cross with her.
It's not something that you necessarily have to complain about, but if we can just talk about it and just make it a little bit more understood at home, in the workplace, with your partners, with your boss.
Yeah, let's make it less dry, more moist.
Yes, let's bring the moistness into your 50s
yeah,
and 40s.
Yeah, I love that. but we are going to, obviously, because this is where Lua and I are at the moment, we are perimenopausal, we still have our periods, but something has gone dreadfully, dreadfully wrong somewhere along the line. And Louise is very well read. She got, what did she get in biology?
I got a C in
She's
biology,
got a C
Sarah.
In biology.
In biology O-level as well, so
yeah.
that dates
me. You really
me.
Are showing your age.
Yes.
But the one thing is she's very erudite and wise, my friend Lou. And so I put to you, Louise, because you'll know, what the fuck is going on with my hormones?
Irregular.
Bitches. So I've had a Google, Sarah.
Oh, Dr. Google.
I Googled on WebMD.
Mm-hmm.
And the main focus for what is going on when you hit perimenopause is the fact that you start to make less and less estrogen. So what you will find is that your estrogen levels go up and down.
Uh-huh.
And so one day they could be in the normal bracket and then another day they could have sunk through the floor and you would be feeling hormonal.
So is estrogen responsible for levelling your moods or is it responsible for...
It's the female sex hormone.
But is it also... So we know that obviously your sex life, sex drive dries up to a certain extent.
Mm.
But is it... Is estrogen happy making?
No,
think?
I don't think it comes into that category. I think it's more to do with the biology of, you know, getting your uterus ready and releasing an egg.
Right.
I'm way off here.
Because
I
tell you for why I say
about.
That. Catelyn Moran, mm. who is amazing, mm. who I absolutely love, and back in when we used to run with the same crowd in the 90s, she wrote a fantastic column for the Times recently where she talked about estrogen levels dropping.
Mm.
And how they bathe you, basically, in serenity and contentedness and happiness. I can't recommend it highly enough. Dig out it. Get on the internet, guys. You might have to get through the Times paywall, but it will be worth it because it was a really long article. And then she went into how when those hormones, when estrogen starts going away, how essentially it just makes middle-aged women grumpy and then we have that reputation for being grumpy and it resonated. I kept seeing it being shared on my timeline and I think it resonated with so many women. So I think estrogen, it must be caught up in your well-being somehow as well. And obviously, yeah, because we all know what we're like when, like, if somebody says, oh, I'm a bit hormonal today, that basically is them saying, I'm grumpy, tearful, and pissed
yeah,
off.
Yeah, and I think that's when the happy hormones come in, because that's when you want to be increasing your serotonin levels.
Yeah.
So that's when exercising more and getting out and about in nature more comes into it. So it's more offsetting. So if your estrogen levels are low, you're potentially feeling, you know, grumpy or whatever else, which isn't always the case, but that's when you do get outside and you do exercise a little bit more. And it doesn't have
to be
massively physical.
That's when you don't want to do it, Lou. That's when you don't want to do it.
That's when looking after yourself comes into it and taking time for yourself and saying, do you know what? I really can't be asked, but I am going to, you know, go for a run or walk the dogs or just finding something fun.
I wish you lived near me.
I know.
Because I'd come and knock on your door and say, make me come out for a walk. I want to stay under the duvet.
It's a shame. I'm constantly looking for dance classes to go to because, I mean, obviously
yes.
I can bust moves, obviously, but I'd like it to be, you know, more of a, you know, fat burning, exercising kind of way. But I've never managed it yet.
Do you want to hear something really, really sad?
Oh,
I realised
I don't know.
A couple of weeks ago. And it was, well, it was pointed out by both my children that, I mean, I was a dancer, Lou, and I could slap drop with the best of them. And my Britney moves were off the scale. You know, I have pulled men by doing a shimmy that they have watched on the dance floor. They're like, I have to have that woman. Long time ago. However, around the age of 43, 44, I'm still busting exactly the same moves.
Mm-hmm.
I am still the same person. You can't do it anymore.
No.
It becomes mum dancing overnight. I can't even begin to dress this up. I know lots of people will be going, that's not true. I still look well sexy on the dance floor. I'm telling you, You don't. This is not an Arctic Monkeys song. You do not look good on the dance floor anymore when you're in your 40s.
But I don't care now. I don't care what I look like on the dance floor. I don't.
I do.
I'm so happy to literally freestyle my way. I go to festivals. I love going to festivals. I will freestyle my way around an entire festival, really not caring what my moves look like, because I don't really care what people think anymore.
I know. I care what my son and daughter think, and they both told me I'm not allowed to dance anymore.
Oh, no, you have to get over that, because that's now going to last until they get to about 16, 17.
Well, just to give you some idea of where Lou and I are at with children, I have 2, 6 and 8, and Lou has 2, 14
and 17. So the 14-year-old is still, you know, fairly eye-rolly, not too bad. The 17-year-old completely embraces me now and actually, you know, takes on some of my rather quirky mannerisms as well.
We digress, which will happen a lot, and we're going to embrace that.
Yeah.
But getting back to the point, your estrogen levels are up and down.
Yeah.
What else happens? What else is going on? Because you and I...
Well, do you want a list?
Well, this is what I was just going to say. Most people think I'm going through the menopause when your estrogen levels start fluctuating. You're not. The menopause is when you haven't had a period for a year.
One whole year. Right. And the average age of that is 51.
And that's when it's done.
That's when you haven't had... So starting, say, from your 50th birthday to your 51st, you'd have to have not had a period for a whole year to then say that you were in menopause.
Yeah.
And perimenopause can last up to 4 years.
Yeah.
And I think I'm slightly behind on everything. I think I started to notice night sweats and that sort of thing at about 48.
Mm.
So I started to do various things, take supplements, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
We'll get a guest in that we can go through all of that. But that is at 48 that I started to think, oh, hang on a minute.
And I was early because my dad's a retired surgeon and apparently this is the medical truth, that the later you start your periods, the earlier you'll finish them. And I didn't start till I was about 15 and a half.
Okay.
So apparently so. Don't quote me on that.
So say that again.
The later you start your periods.
Yes,
sorry,
so
did I say it wrong? The later
you
start your periods, the earlier you finish them. So I started going through perimenopause. I'm 48, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, which would be considered, I guess, youngish.
So that
maybe
means
even longer than that.
That means if you start your periods really early, because I remember there was a girl in my class who had to have her chair removed from the classroom in primary school, so less than 11.
Bless her.
And we never knew why her... I'm not going to say her name, although I can remember it. Why has her chair been removed? And of course now you can put 2 and 2 together and work out what had happened
to
the poor child.
She would go through the menopause later.
So she would go through it later. So you draw the short straw. If you start earlier, you're drawing the short straw and having your periods for much longer.
I don't know why that is, and maybe it's wrong.
It depends on your perspective as well, I suppose, because some people would say having your periods later means, you know, you've held on to your female sex hormones for longer, haven't you?
So starting them later.
Starting them earlier and finishing them later.
You've had
a longer chunk of time with your estrogen levels. Yeah, so I think I'm a bit behind. I think I will probably... My periods have started to... shorten and lengthen. So I will go from 24 day cycle to about 29, 30 day cycle. So go on.
So the podcast called Irregular Bitches, I'm a fraud. I'm a fake, I'm a phony.
You've
I was
lied.
28 days on the nail this month. That's unusual.
I was going to say this month.
This month.
Okay,
it's usually
right.
Like either 21 days or 38 days or whatever. I was like, literally, my cycle must have known that I was coming in and just decided to have some fun with me.
But I find just even tracking how long my cycle is now vaguely irritating, because I never used to have to do that because I was 28 days on the dot.
Yeah, you with flow. That's my period tracker.
No,
flow.
I just I just put a capital P on
the
day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, no, I've got an app. There's an app for
there's
that.
There's always an app.
There's an app. Anyway, lists. We love lists.
We love a list. Okay.
Right, so you're going to give me a list of all the things that
signs of perimenopause.
Absolutely. That are probably confusing the fuck out of loads of women in their 40s right now, or late 30s even.
Well, and it takes a while for you to sort of put 2 and 2 together. So the first one on my list, not necessarily the first sign
in no
you
particular
would
order.
In no particular order, is hot flushes.
Right.
And I don't think I'm particularly having hot flushes because I've seen friends have them and they literally like wafting and then wafting their faces and then going outside.
Yeah,
seen you.
My sister-in-law is really, really struggling with them.
And how old is she?
She is miserable. Same age as me, maybe a year older.
Okay.
I think, so 48, 49. She's really struggling with them, and I haven't, but I wonder, and again, I am no medical expert, I don't know whether, I've never been a particularly sweaty person. When I was at the Royal Ballet School, I used to get in trouble for not sweating in ballet class. Like Sveli, our teacher used to come up and go, start sweating, you're not working. So, yeah, and so I'm not particularly, which is great, you know, I was, you know, I merely glow.
Well, I don't glow at night.
Do you not? Do you have the night sweats?
Horrendous, yeah. I mean, Duncan, when they first started, was like, why have you gone and had a shower and got back into bed without drying yourself?
He genuinely thought you were just wet.
Yes,
you were wet.
Yes,
through.
That's how much sweat is involved. It's revolting and requires many, many sheet changes. I'm constantly turning my pillow.
You know,
my
when head I got gets those, hot. I got those after I gave birth.
There you go.
Nobody tells you that that's going to happen when you. All the birth hormones tank for some reason, and. No midwife. And I remember waking up when Hunter was a few days old, drenched. Yes. And it happened like three times in one night, and literally Andy was a bit confused as well. He's like, why are you standing up in the night? I was like, I'm so soaked through, I've got to change my pyjamas.
Yeah.
And then that happened for probably about a month and then stopped and never came back. And I haven't returned there yet. But who's to say that it's not round the corner?
Or not at all. It might not be your thing, but it is definitely mine. And I'm constantly switching the pillow over for
it's
a cold
under the boobs, isn't
a
it?
A cold side.
It's lifting the boobs up to wipe. Maybe we should go on Dragon's Den and like have little mini towelettes that you can put under your boobies.
Oh, that's a good idea. They're attractive as well.
Well, what about all these teenagers that wear these? What do? They squash those crop tops against their underboob. That's what it's called.
Yes, they do. They're bikini underboob. Tops. Yes.
Very weird.
My daughter is not allowed underboobs.
No, because it looks fucking stupid, Louise. That's why.
No. Well, speaking of boobs, breast tenderness is another one.
Absolutely. When I was premenstrual and now, then it went away again during the childbearing years. Hmm. And now it's back. I have to hold my boob. I'm holding them now. I'm sorry that you're not enjoying this because it's a podcast.
I'm really
enjoying
it.
Can you hear that? That's me holding my boobs. Yeah,
but that's how
I knew
I was pregnant.
When I run down the stairs. Yes, me too.
Yeah. Breast tenderness is a massive one. I have been known to take my bra off at 5 o'clock in the afternoon because
do you leave it that long?
Well, I do because I know I'm not going out again. It's 5 o'clock, and so I will take my bra off, and it hurts when I take my bra off because my boobs drop.
Oh, baby!
And I have to hold them back up because they're so painful. Yeah, it's
I would love to not have to wear a bra, but one boob. Only one boob worked in breastfeeding. I didn't do it for that long. I tried everything. I really did give it my best shot, but only my right one worked because I had my left nipple pierced in the '90s, as you did, me and Gail Porter, and so
at
I think
the
they mullered
time,
a milk duct.
You went together?
No, we didn't go together, but we did compare. She had a bolt, I had a ring.
Okay.
I think we probably compared in a nightclub toilet somewhere. I'll look at yours. Show me yours, you show you mine.
Yeah. Get your boobs out.
And so this
loop.
One worked, the right one. So I fed Autumn quite successfully for a few weeks with that one, and then it started to look a bit lopsided, and I got vanity. I got all vain, and I got the fear, and I stopped. And now there's two pencils under the right one and one pencil under the left. Right, what's next on the list?
Next on the list, decrease in sex drive.
Well, I've got a theory about this.
Go on.
I think this is without perimenopause or hormones in general, but I think the longer that women go without sex, the less they want it.
Right.
And the longer that men go without sex, the more they want it. And therein is a massive problem between the sexes when it comes to having a successful sex life.
Yeah.
I have to say, I very rarely initiate it. And Andy's wonderful. He would, you know, he'd have. I think most men, by and large, would have sex every day if they could.
Yeah.
Whatever age they are. It's not that I don't fancy him, because I do. Mm. It's just... Just not in the mood.
Are you in the mood at certain points in your cycle? Because I definitely am.
I used to be. In fact, it's funny, because I haven't actually had to think about this. It's funny how when you sit and talk about your hormones, you sort of track back, and I until quite recently mid cycle, obviously day 14 when you're fertile, but that's definitely going. And also we don't use any birth control for months and months and months, and I know I won't get pregnant now. It's happening. No good eggs left.
No,
I'll probably get told off by loads of people going, but you still should be using it.
Probably
GPs getting in touch being really cross with me.
Probably. Okay, next one on my list is fatigue.
Yeah, that's not just a mum midlife thing, though.
Maybe. But I can't blame... I haven't got small children. I've got teenagers who, you know, basically don't want to hang out with me. So I don't have the whole looking after children fatigue. But I definitely... maybe I'm Mediterranean because I definitely would live in a world where you could have a siesta after lunch every day.
Well, I think that's how...
Because I'm shot to bits.
Yeah, well, I think that... I get that. And I think that we are... We should have the siesta. Mm. And I think we should much more, in a quite a pagan way, we should be much more in tune with the sun and the moon.
Mm.
And that, you know, your melatonin levels rise when the sun goes down, don't they? To try and get you to be sleepy. And in the summer, if you're having longer days, you definitely need a nap. And in the winter, you need a nap because it's getting dark. And
Just need a recharge. I need to recharge my batteries. But it's not that I'm tired. I could literally switch off the switch. And sleep for, you know, however
really?
Long I could get away with. Yeah, yeah. It's not like a power nap. It's I am exhausted.
You see, mine is a different sort of fatigue. Mine is... God, I don't want to depress anyone. I feel very... Well, and obviously, you know, we're living in the world of the virus now, and I feel very weary almost 100% of the time.
Oh.
I don't, you know... I do have bouncy days. But,
yeah.
But then we've had a lot going on. And like
It's been a bit odd.
Yeah, I've been working harder than I have in years. Mm. The kids are at particularly trying stages. They've been at home for 6 months. Pandemic. And we're getting an extension done, which is a...
That's a hell of a lot on your plate.
It's a first world problem if ever there was one. But yeah, so I just assume that was life. But I wonder if actually there's some hormone weariness in there as well, mixed in the mix.
And that's the thing, none of us actually know.
Yeah.
We don't know what's us. We don't know what's hormones. We don't know what's us just feeling not great
or
like being a bitch.
I go to bed before my kids
do. Yeah, I think that's quite normal.
At bedtime when they start kicking off, Autumn hates going to bed. She's just a little party animal. I fear for her. She's going to be the clubber. But, you know, about 8:30, especially now their bedtimes have got later and later because of lockdown and then summer holidays and, you know, the sun being up till late and what have you. And, you know, at 9:30, I'm tearing my hair out. I'm saying to her, I want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And she's still, you know,
up and
trotting
about.
Up and down the corridors. Yeah, it's so annoying.
Well, and that ties into mood swings as well, I think, because that's the bit where I think going back to work... Having people understand that you can walk in one day and literally want to kill everyone, Sarah. Am I right? You can walk into work.
Yeah.
And I know we're not working necessarily. In my past, I've worked in offices. So I would walk in and I knew I was hormonal, not perimenopausal, but hormonal, because some days I would literally want to kill everybody.
Feel psychopathic. I know exactly what you mean. And I think that, I'm sure it happened even recently where I was a bit grumpy or something and somebody's like, what's wrong with you? You're on your period. Men, obviously,
oh,
man.
You know what?
Oh, I want to thump people that say that. But every woman in a working environment would be quite within their rights to turn around and go, yes, it probably is something to do with my hormones and you'd be better off just leave me the fuck alone today.
Do you know, I wouldn't mind that if it wasn't said in a derogatory fashion. So if somebody actually said... are you feeling hormonal?
Mm-hmm.
And so then you were able to be, you know, positively say whether or not you felt that you were. But it's not. It's, you're on your period. You know, like, there's something wrong with you and you're being moody.
I think we forget that every woman in the world, even the queens have periods.
Exactly.
People forget that. Queen went through the menopause.
Yeah.
Oh, and so did Jennifer Aniston. You know, when people say, it's all dried up fannies and hot flushes and that makes me really cross.
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing this because...
Because it's
not... Everybody's
it's just women
like,
being
oh,
women.
It's not sexy, is it? And it's like,
I can
fuck
be
that.
Sexy.
I can be sexy. Honestly, I know that they're a bit wonky, but my tits are fantastic.
I'm all right
what,
with
what my
mine.
Ex-boyfriend used to say, they sit up and beg for buttermilk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, that was a long time ago. But yeah, I refuse for society to decide because I'm in my late 40s that I am no longer vibrant, sexy, brilliant, sassy, fabulous woman.
I agree. And there may be days where you don't feel like it, but there will still be days where you do. And that's what we need to embrace, I think.
Yeah.
Feeling how you're feeling and everyone just being okay about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Although there's nothing that one, and I am going to have a pop at him now, and I know we'll listen to this, but there's nothing I hate more than when I tell Andy on a bad day that I'm, if he's like, well, you're really grumpy today, and I go, I think I'm a bit hormonal, and he goes, I wish I had that excuse. Oh, I mean, I wouldn't, because I don't abuse
him.
Can't
condone slapping people, I realise that.
It really winds me up. I mean, quite possibly, and we will cover the menopause in another episode of Irregular Bitches. It does happen. Men's hormones, also their testosterone levels tank when they're, but Andy's 10 years younger than me, so he's probably not quite there yet. And he still wants to have sex with me every night. So, you know.
Yeah.
Did that sound really arrogant? We are married, so he is meant to be able.
Yeah.
Like, he's
meant
to want to do that. It's not like me going, get me.
Yeah.
I'm fucking sexy. What else is on this bloody list?
Oh, the one that I like saying the best.
What's that?
Vaginal dryness. Vaginal dryness.
I think you should do like a KY jelly advert on the telly.
I think it should be one of our sponsors.
They so should.
I've got a bit of a list in my head, actually, of who I think our sponsors could be. Panty liners.
Which ones?
We like saying panty liners.
Yeah, because I use, it's only Louise now that has got me saying panty liners like a normal person. So I used to go, panty liners.
Yeah, I used to whisper it.
Yeah, like it's a bit embarrassing. Yeah. It is funny, isn't it? Panty liners. It's like gusset. Yeah.
Love that. Love the word gusset.
Gusset. Yeah, panty liner. I like the carefree ones that smell nice. Have you got the little, individually wrapped?
Sarah has just mimed smelling a panty liner, which frankly, nobody else needs to see ever again.
But I do, you know they have a hole in the box. I'm in Savers, like picking them up and smelling the box.
Like, do you remember I'm showing my age again, but the strawberry shortcake things, you could scratch and sniff the stickers. That's what it looked like you were just doing.
Sorry about that. Vaginal dryness.
Vaginal dryness, KY jelly. I think that should be one of our sponsors.
Yeah, I'm quite lucky I'm not there yet, but again, it will happen. No. My mum has said that can be a problem.
Oh, so. You can't believe you've mentioned that.
Yeah, she won't care.
Poor mum.
No, well, she's in her 70s. She looks banging, by the way. But because we taught me and my mum, and she's...
That's good.
I think we were talking about sex and she said that it can become a problem.
Yeah.
So it's, but that's where I don't think you have to be icky about the lubricants. I think you just have to get involved.
I think so.
Yeah, I just worry about the sheets.
Oh, we'll be constantly washing the sheets. But I'm constantly washing the sheets anyway because of my night sweats.
Because of your night sweats,
just add a bit of KY jelly when the time comes.
Yeah.
I'm not fussy.
Yeah. Any more on that fucking list?
I've got a new one to throw in wasn't in WebMD. This is the Louise Mitchell personal experience, but actually has been mentioned in my book club as well, so I'm going with it. Sticky, itchy ears.
What?
Yes.
You nutter.
Yes.
Sticky,
and I'm not
itchy.
The only person.
Fuck off.
I am not the only person. And do you know what I have to do now,
Sarah?
Did
you Google it?
No, because this is just my personal one.
Sticky, itchy.
My friend in book club has said it. Our mutual great friend has said it. I now have to put, and I know you're not supposed to put them in your ears.
Anything smaller than your elbow.
Yes, when I put my elbow in my ear to have a really good old brogle around, I have to do that in the middle of the night now. So I'm night sweating, I'm brogling around with my sticky, itchy ears.
Brogling. Let's stop right there. Brogling. I've never heard such a satisfying word to say. What does it mean? Is it a word?
I don't know.
I'm going to Google it now.
You'll hear all sorts of words like that from me.
I'm Googling it now. Brogling. I'm putting
Brogling about. So you'd brogle about in like a free, like a, you know, get things cheap in the supermarket bin.
I think I ticked about, how many was on that list apart from the bloody brogling around in your
brogling
sticky,
in your
itchy ears?
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... Oh, trouble sleeping I didn't mention.
Oh,
8.
I definitely have that.
Yeah.
I'm ticking that box.
How are you going to tick that box, Sarah?
I'm going to go, tick-a-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick the box, tick the box, tick the box. Irregular.
Bitches.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well,
HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So when we first started talking about how we were feeling, you said something that made me really sad. Can you remember what it was? About how you were feeling in that moment?
No, and I still feel like that. That's why I put so much makeup on today and tried to make... I hope that I don't become that woman that has too much work done, but I am fighting the aging process a bit. I am not a stranger to a bit of Botox, although trying to get a bloody appointment at the moment is proving like trying to get blood out of stone. But I feel invisible.
Hate that.
I know, I really do. I think we've discussed this in the past where I said to you, I know it's not very PC, but I'd love it if I got wolf whistled when I walk past a building site. It would make me so happy.
And I think that's really honest. And I think a lot of people would feel the same. And I remember I too have been wolf whistled. And I remember my reaction very much being, oh God, I've been wolf whistled. And inside, I'm going, oh my God, I've been wolf whistled. And that's the honest truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you do get some level of self-esteem from people recognising that you are attractive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've had loads of operations on my tummy as well. And I had 2 C-sections with the kids. And I marvel on Instagram. I look at women my age and a lot of my friends are a good few years younger than me, but not, you know, only perhaps at most like 10 years, which isn't very much really, is it, these days? It's not, you know,
not
you have friends
days.
Of all different ages. And I just look at their bodies and I just feel really depressed about the state of mine. And
what did your son say to you?
Oh, yeah. I was telling Lou before we started recording that, you know, autumn gives me this kind of sideways look when I'm naked, and I think I gross her out a bit. And actually, can somebody please tell me whether is that something that little girls do? Because Lola's 17, so Lou says she doesn't think she did, but she might not
she
be
might
able to.
She might have done. She might have been a very good actress.
You might not have noticed. And I'd say to her, I know that mummy's body is, you know, perhaps not as lovely as some of the bodies you might see on your YouTube videos. I said, but I had 2 children and I had a life-saving operation and I had a bowel resection that nearly killed me, and those scars are survival scars. And that's what Hunter always says to me. Always goes, yeah, but mummy, you survived. Now your love scars from
God
having
God love
us.
That boy.
He's a good kid, bless him. But yeah, I do feel a bit like, I mean, maybe it's a lot of it's perhaps tied up in the fact that, you know, TV couldn't drop me quick enough when I hit midlife. Do you know what I mean?
That needs to be addressed, right? And I think it is being. I think
It really is.
That there are, you know, various actresses out there who are, Reese Witherspoon for one, doing amazing work.
Yeah.
You know, ensuring that women of our sort of age are working in the media. But it's not as easy as it once was, is it fair to say?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I mean, you know, and I do, it's funny now, it's such a famous saying, but I'm that woman that goes, our youth is wasted on the young. It really is. They don't know their asses from their elbows. Honestly, and I know this is just such a cliche, but if I could put my 48-year-old brain inside my 25-year-old body, I would have owned the world.
For starters, I would not have spent my time feeling like I was fat.
I wouldn't have taken any shit from any of the fucking men that I was wasting my time with. Not that any of them would be listening, but, you know, take that, kids. So, yes, I do feel a bit invisible, but I feel okay today, despite the fact I've got a mild hangover. I feel better. I do wear makeup every day now, though, which I didn't used to.
I do.
Like, we had a few drinks with my family last night, and I woke up this morning and I looked terrible. Like, you just can't bounce back. Your skin just, there's no elasticity in it, isn't it? It's all the collagen's leaving it, and it's so frustrating.
Well, as you know, Sarah, because you can see me, but since lockdown, I have been embracing the grey.
I love it. But we all told you to do that, because obviously none of us could get our hair done.
Yeah.
And Lou and I were talking on Zooms a lot through lockdown, and her grey roots were coming through, and they were really quite different from the colour you dye your hair, weren't they?
Mm.
And I was like, I love it. They're proper. Yeah. You're a silver fox. Thanks. Silver foxy lady.
At the front. Not so much at the back, but I can't see that, so let's not worry about what's going on at the back.
She's done a great job.
She's done it, Emily. Yeah. Done a great job on my hair. But yeah, no, so that's one of the things that means that I do have to wear more makeup now.
Mm.
Yeah, just more colour on my cheeks, more colour on my lips, because otherwise I feel like it ages me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't if I make a bit more of an effort with sticking some more colour.
You know what the invisible thing is? Sort of just sitting here kind of thinking to myself, I don't want to be younger. I don't want to go back there. I just perhaps want us ladies of a certain age to own this stage of our lives a bit better, to own it. And yeah, and I think just because men, and there's a scientific reason for this and I can't remember what it is, but I heard it on something, that men do age better than women. You know, like obviously it's
how
difficult.
They look or how
yeah,
they act.
How they look. Mm. No, how they look. So I think they don't lose as much collagen maybe or something. But also, take somebody like George Clooney, who's
he's
gorgeous anyway, but he has, I don't know, they just seem to grow into their ageing face as much.
Duncan definitely is.
Yeah.
Definitely. He's not losing his hair, which I think does help.
Well, Andy is losing his hair a little bit at the back, but he's going a bit silver, he's going a bit grey, but he's 10 years younger than me, but he is ageing really well. And he will, you know, he is extremely handsome, and they get more handsome as they get more silver, and they get, I think the cragginess, the jowliness, I guess men can carry that off a lot better than women.
Mm.
Those jowl, you know, when your skin starts to loosen slightly around your jawline, just looks better on a guy, I guess. Maybe they have stronger jawlines, don't they? Anyway, I'm digressing again. But yeah, so I'm working on not feeling as invisible.
Good.
You know, I sometimes look in the mirror and think,
you look all right.
I look all right today. I've done all right there.
Well, that's my list done.
Is that your list?
That's my list done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me just have a look at mine now. Oh, it says here, why aren't more high-profile women talking about it? And then it says, because it's dry.
Yeah.
But it's not. That's what we want to do. We want to, like, I think... And that's actually already changed in the last 6 months. It feels like 2020, although it was a shitty year. I do hear more people talking about perimenopause and menopause and hormones and aging gracefully.
Definitely.
And disgracefully.
Oh, yeah. We can do that.
That too. So it's getting there. But can I just say that I have got friends who seem to be a little bit in denial about it.
Mm.
And people do think... It's not something they want to talk about. It's not something...
Are these media friends, Sarah, or are they
normal people friends? A bit of both, really. But it's... nobody wants to be defined by the menopause or by the fact they're menopausal, and we're not saying that. We're just saying that it should be something that's in common parlance, yeah?
Totally.
And also that... I mean, I actually feel for high-profile women in the media because I suppose you do one interview where you might mention that stage is fast approaching, and then you could end up being the poster girl for hot flushes, dry fannies.
Yeah.
and nobody wants that. I don't want that. We don't want that. What we want to do, we don't want to make it trendy either, do we?
No.
We just want to make
it... Just want to make it normal. Let's just talk about it. Let's just use terms that... You know, everybody can use easily, and for it to be part of normal life. I think we've all struggled in situations where at meetings, for example, you know, you know you may be struggling. You may, for example, have... I don't know how far I should go into this, Sarah, but... So, for example, I've been in a meeting where I flooded and I've known halfway through the meeting that I've got to somehow leave, hoping that I haven't done anything on the chair, get out, sort myself out, spend the rest of the day potentially in these clothes and not tell anybody about it. Yeah, and that's happened throughout my whole life. And, you know, you get better at dealing with it. But to be honest, sometimes it still happens now. And I don't think it's that unusual. And I don't feel like I should be saying, you know, shouting in the middle of wherever.
But wouldn't it be nice if you could stand up in a meeting and go, fuck, I don't know whether I've just leaked or just like, me and my friend Gina have the most open relationship. Right. We basically, like, we will happily remove tampons in front of each other if we have to. We don't choose to, but if we've had to. And she will turn her back and go, oh my God, have I leaked through my jeans? And she'll show you.
That's a good, like, friend thing to do. And you wouldn't expect to do that in a work or in a bar or in a pub, but it would be nice to be able to just explain why you're leaving the room without feeling awkward.
Well, so I put to you, if you're in a pub and you saw a girl...
Oh, 100%.
Would you tell her? Would you 100%. Take her on one side and say...
Yes.
Maybe you could get yourself.
Yes, because I do it about all sorts of things. I will tell people.
Oh, well,
all sorts
I try
things.
To tell if people have boogers.
Oh,
I vote because I think
Sarah,
I,
it's we, if you ever have a, you will know because I will be vomiting into the nearest bin.
I no, can't I even say tell to people, I think you've got a bit of dust or something on your nose. But you know what we do want?
What's
from,
that?
From this menopause?
Oh yes,
we want some interaction.
We do. We want to hear from people. So I've talked about my sticky itchy ears, which Sarah
That's
didn't believe,
so
and
weird.
I know there's going to be loads of people who've all got this, and you just need to get in contact to back me up, please.
Still thinking.
Shall I give our
bogle you bogler
our social media?
Yeah, I think you should because we've got the socials.
So on Facebook, we're Irregular Bitches.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, we are The Irregular Bitches.
Uh-huh.
And
we
then
are.
We are. And then our email address is irregularbsbaby@gmail.com. So I would like all of people with sticky ears, if you could all get in contact to back me up with Sarah.
Fucking weirdos. Nobody will ever subscribe to our podcast. I think we're nuts. So that's what our social media is. Oh, and can I just say that Louise thought that our email address was really rubbish until I pointed out that BS is short for bullshit. So it's basically irregular bullshit baby. Irregular BS baby at Gmail, isn't it?
It was hard to get an email address. I couldn't get one with bitches in it. Wouldn't let me.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we have to asterisk the I.
We do.
Which is fine by
Americans.
Me.
Yeah. I don't mind.
No,
we didn't mind that at all.
But we do want you guys to get involved because my favourite podcasts all have public, you know, the audience content because you guys are hilarious. There's two things that we want. The fun stuff first, which is... Now, which one should we do first? Should we do hormonal horror stories, which is when things have gone horribly wrong when you've been off your tits on hormones?
Mm.
Or... Meno moments, which is the light-hearted I left my keys in the fridge stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
I think we do the ugly first.
First, and then end on high.
Yeah, yeah. So we want your hormonal horror stories. Have you got one, Lou?
I don't know if I have got one. Not that I can think of off the top
of my
head.
Fucking hundreds.
Go on, you crack on, and I'll see if I can think
really?
Of one.
I don't.
I will
but
do.
My.
I just
but
can't
so
remember
okay.
Anything.
So hormonal horror stories are when you know that you've behaved in a way that's completely out of character, that's impacted.
Oh, yes.
On your life in perhaps a non-positive way, and it's basically because of hormones. Now, there's two things. I've definitely, as I mentioned earlier, shagged some very unsuitable men because I have basically my, you know, body going back to when we were cave dwellers was saying. Impregnate me.
Yeah.
And I have made some shocking romantic decisions around day 14 and woken up and gone, what the actual?
Have you been proud of any of them? That's what I want to know. Are there any that you go, well done me?
Oh, yeah. I won't name any names.
Oh, Sarah, that's
well,
what
I'm
we
not
want.
On the podcast.
Yeah,
I happily tell people in DMs.
Yeah,
they
okay, there we go. Sarah
there
will
go.
DM you
Slide
her top three shags on day 14.
On day 14. Well, they don't have to do anything, do they? On day 14, you just go walk past the end of the room and walk past the end of the bed, and a girl mid-cycle will come. I'm not wrong, am I? You know, those hormones, it's just like, shag me, get me pregnant. That's what they're doing. Anyway, so that was the first thing. But the other thing, which is slightly darker, is at a party when I knew I was premenstrual and it was a showbiz party and I was made to feel well and truly like the D-lister that I kind of was.
Mm.
But nobody wants that shit pointed out to them.
No.
There was many, many more famous people there than me and a magazine covering it and a lady with a clipboard with all the important people's names on that clipboard and my name wasn't on that clipboard. It was a sort of a case of, we need that A-lister, we need that A-lister, we don't need UK word, they need that A-lister. And it was horrible. So I cried in the toilets about that. And then I got drunk, snogged somebody unsuitable and basically just was the embarrassing drunk at the party and friendships were ruined, unfortunately. My life actually, if there's a fulcrum moment, that might have been it because my life really changed that day. It was very, very much my waning TV career went underneath a microscope and I evaluated and was evaluated and and my life changed. And I now realise that all things happen for a reason. So I have mourned it and moved on, but certain relationships never recovered after that day. And that was directly, because if I had not been premenstrual and off my tits on hormones, I would have been... okay.
More measured.
And also drinking, you see, drinking. Oh, drinking when you're premenstrual or first day of your period.
Horrendous.
I mean, the white wine witch.
Yeah.
She definitely comes out to play.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's my hormonal horror story. Have you got one?
I've got one.
Oh, have you? Yeah. Oh, I'm glad I'm not alone.
Yeah. Well, it's a couple of years ago now. But I have been known, Sarah, to go storming upstairs because I couldn't find my son Johnny's spare pair of school trousers. It was 10:30 at night. He was fast asleep. And I thought it was perfectly reasonable to go upstairs, wake him up.
Did you wake him up?
I woke him up. I said, so it's probably later than 10:30. Anyway, Johnny, what have you done with your spare pair of school trousers? And he looked at me. And by then, Duncan had followed me up the stairs to find out what was going on. So
did you march up the stairs then?
Oh, I was literally like, what have you done with your trousers?
Were you like a screaming banshee?
What have you done with your trousers?
Really?
No, not that bad. I've exaggerated, but you know, it was.
Why did
he
need his spare school trousers?
Because he'd played football in his other school trousers, and so they were covered in mud. And I'd done the whole, you know, when you rub with the cloth. No, though he needed his other pair of school trousers because it was important to me in that moment, Sarah.
So he couldn't have waited till the morning.
No, seemingly not. So Johnny gives me a look, and Duncan gives me a look, and it gives me a chance to check in with myself and think. Am I being unreasonable? And there are certain moments where I think to myself, yes, I'm being perfectly reasonable. It's perfectly reasonable for me to wake my son up, perfectly reasonable for him to tell me that he doesn't know where his school trousers are. And frankly, I don't give a shit what other people think in that moment.
But and you know what makes that all the worse is that it was your son, not your daughter, because your daughter might have eye-rolled and gone, Mum, stop being a maniac. Yeah. But Johnny will have just been like, she's insane.
Yeah, and that's the look that I'm given. And sometimes I can rein myself in and think, oh, hang on. This isn't reasonable behaviour. And other times I don't care. And in this moment, I didn't care. And I was definitely hormonal. And I have whole days, really, where I just feel out of sorts and do feel like I want to fight everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, Duncan will say I'm a bit worried about you, which makes me just want to fight him.
I'm fine, right? Is that?
So, yeah, that's a good hormone story. And we want to hear yours. We want to hear your crazy school trouser moments.
Yeah, and the things you've done when you've been off your tits on estrogen.
And you'll make us feel better about ourselves.
God, yeah. I mean, I still cringe when I think about that day. It's just, when you're like, oh, God. And you just wonder what people's perceptions of you. This was donkeys years ago, but you just wonder what people's perceptions of you are since that time. I'm not that person anymore. Well, for a start, I'm not off my tits on estrogen that much anymore, which is really great.
We want hormone horror stories,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah, those are the hormonal horror stories. That's perhaps the embarrassing... not the light-hearted stuff. So it can be gross. We don't mind a bit of gross.
Oh, no,
it can be
gross.
Embarrassing. It can be downright life-changing. We want to hear those. And then the other things are... Zoe Ball talks about these all the time on the radio, and I love her for it. Meno moments. She calls them meno moments. Like if she cocks something up or presses the wrong button or something, she'll go, oh, God, sorry, meno moment.
Brilliant.
Wonderful for blaming everything on, really.
Love it, yes.
But I have genuinely... taken the milk and put it by the front door and put my keys in the fridge and done weird stuff. Like sometimes Andy will check the freezer if I'm looking.
If you've lost something, yeah,
because he knows what I'm like.
Yeah.
So we are going to be. It's not just hormones, although that's what we've dwelt on a little bit today and for the next few weeks. It's just irregular bitches navigating midlife. That's what it is. It is time for us to say goodbye and thank you very much for joining us. Irregular Bitches is a Factory Originals production, and we have been Sarah Kaywood and Louise Mitchell. Can I tell you my joke?
Yes, go for it.
How do you make a hormone?
I don't know. How do you make a hormone?
Don't pay her. Anyway, until next time,
stay cool, bitches.
Hold up. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.